Good morning. And to me, it's again a privilege to be with you all in this way this morning. Could I ask you to stand again, please, to pray? Father, thank you again for the privilege of being here this morning with your children, here in your presence. Father, thank you that you have given us everything we have need of. This morning, as we are here together to listen to your word, to interact with each other, I pray that this time would be a time of blessing, a time of encouragement, a time of refreshing in you and in your word. Lord, you know the needs of our hearts. And so I ask that according to those needs, you would speak to each one of us in this service today. And I pray a special blessing on each one who will have a part in this service. Again, Lord, we open our hearts to you. And Father, we praise you for your blessings. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now this morning I'd like to read from Ephesians. And whenever I read this passage, I get this picture of Paul sort of winded. He was so excited that he seems he could barely contain himself as he's writing. His words and his thoughts just sort of seem to bubble forth and burst on each other in just, and he goes from one thought to the next, and there's so much he wants to say. And that's in Ephesians chapter 1. And what I want to read this morning is actually verses 15 through 23. Now we notice there in verse 15, he starts off with wherefore. If we look back in the chapter, we see this wherefore is referring to because of the prior things he was already telling us. He says that we are going to be blessed with all spirit, or we are blessed in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He tells us that we are chosen to be holy and without blame before him in love. He tells us that we are predestinated unto adoption. He tells us that we are to be to the praise of his glory. He tells us that we are accepted in the beloved. Tells us that we have redemption through his blood. Tells us that God made known the mystery of his will to us. We've been called to obtain an inheritance. And then he tells us that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, the earnest of our inheritance. And then he says, wherefore? Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So much. Whenever I read this passage, it's like I go down verse by verse, and just there's so much to look at. There's so much to digest here. Wherefore, and he says there in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I don't stop giving thanks for you. And I continue praying for you. I mention you in my prayers. And I wonder sometimes, what would happen if I would pray more that way? What would happen if and I wonder if I wouldn't accomplish more in prayer if instead of griping and complaining to God about my situations and about the people around me, if I would rather give thanks to God for them and about these things. You know, what if I would say, Lord, thank you for that nasty neighbor that I have. Lord, thank you for my unreasonable boss. Lord, thank you for that brother or that sister that I just can't seem to get along with. Lord, thank you for my enemies. We could get a lot more accomplished if we would do that. And this week, I thank the Lord also that my enemies are His enemies. Because the Lord can take care of those things. It's amazing when we thank God for those things instead of complaining and griping. You know, to me it's interesting that the whole lawyer group, the Southern Poverty Law Center, who is bringing all kinds of stuff against us, is now getting indicted and getting criminally charged by the same weaponized court system, or by the same court system that they used to weaponize against us. I find that amazing. And we can thank God for what He is going to do. Not always what we want, not always on our timing, but God can do more with us thanking Him and praising Him for those things. And then Paul goes on. So he's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Three things that He really, truly wants for us to know and understand. That we would have our eyes enlightened so that we would know the hope He has called us to. That hope that only exists while we are here. We won't need hope once we get there. But while we are here, we still have that hope. That hope of that future in heaven. But also the peace, the joy, the blessings that we experience right now because of that hope. It's not just in the future. It is also now. And it truly, when we have that hope within us, it truly modifies the way we live today. And it truly does something for us, even in the way of accepting our situations. And it makes a difference in how I live my life today. And then he wants us to know the riches of the glory of His inheritance. The riches of the glory of His inheritance. The glorious abundance to which we are entitled. We don't see it yet. But there is an inheritance that every last one of us was promised that we will have. Think about it, how you would feel if all of a sudden you would become the son or the daughter of a king. And all of a sudden you are moved from your house into the king's palace. Or a billionaire's palace, you know. What if all of a sudden you would become the child of a billionaire? How would your situation change immediately? Have you thought about it? You know, we are the children of the Most High God. We are the children, and we have been promised all that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has. It's ours. And yet, so many times, because of the things we can't seem to see right now, and because we tend to be so focused on earthly things And our eyes are so blinded by the things we see around us instead of by eyes of faith looking beyond. We don't see this glorious inheritance that we have been called to. And that is for everyone. And that's also why, you know, as we look around us and we see the people living in sin, and we see people, even, you know, homeless people out on the streets or whatever, when we realize that each one of these people has also been called to accept that inheritance, if only they would, it also changes the way we look at people. And if we are all a part of the same family, it also changes the way we look at people. And then he goes on to the third part. He says, exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. The exceeding greatness of his power. He was limited in trying to explain this thing. But then he goes on. And he says, this power is the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead. It's that same power. Now that power is available to each one of us. That power is available to you and to me in our daily walk in life. In our daily Christian walk, that is ours. This exceeding great power. The same one that resurrected Christ from the dead. The same one that seated him at the right hand of God. The same power that put everything under his feet and made him the head over all. Now that power is available for you and for me today. And yet, how often do I struggle and do I live with the things around me and tied down to the little thoughts and ensnared by the same little sins day in and day out when Christ has offered me something way beyond? You know, this sin-crushing, chain-busting power over sin. It's there, and it's for each one of us. And in Romans 8, it tells us, if the Spirit of the Lord lives in us, that's available for each one of us. And as I look at that, you know, it's no wonder that Paul prayed those three things for the Ephesians. So that they would understand the hope. So that they would understand the riches of the inheritance. And so that they would understand the exceeding great power that we have. And I just want to encourage each one of us. We can pray that way for ourselves, for our families, for each one. We can pray that way. And above all, we can live that way because that is the reality. But we have to trust in God and we have to have faith that that is true and that that is available for me today. May the Lord bless you.